You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Okay, first of all, I see that the censorship from the great purveyors of honesty and decency... sorry, wrong line. I can't refer to YouTube as that. Dreadful creatures, aren't they? You know, that is wokeness gone nuts. If you were an alien and you threw on a YouTube, you'd think, well, forget attacking the Earth or invading Earth. They've destroyed themselves by watching and listening to YouTube, because they've announced an abortion censorship. Abortion has been added to the topics YouTube will police under its misinformation banner. The Google-owned video service YouTube announced that it had added abortion to the list of health and medical topics subject to its misinformation policy after vaccines and baby formula. You see, so it's the misinformation is deemed by the people that work at YouTube. So what political preference they have will ultimately determine the amount of censorship that your channel or a video will experience. So good luck on free speech with YouTube. Now, here's another one that made the news. It was on Fox in the States. Okay, this is how this happens around the world. I'm just thinking about the midterms coming up. I think it's November 8. And they're coming up not very far away at all. And to create an illusion that they're doing the very best for America, they have these optics, false optics. For example, House Democrats have passed a bill to protect birth control access. And the final vote tally was 2-8-1-9-5. Okay, that's a bill to protect birth control access. 8 Republicans of low IQ joined with the Democrats to support the bill. Nancy Mace, Fred Upton, John Katko, Brian Fitzpatrick, Adam, crying always, Kinzinger, Maria Salazar, Liz Cheney, and Anthony Gonzalez. Now, that's really great, even... Kinzinger. He's always crying. Adam's always crying, by the way. You just go to YouTube. Oh, may not be on YouTube. But anyway, he does. He cries a lot. So they've passed this bill. Isn't that fantastic? Passed a bill to protect birth control access. That's right. You can have access to birth control things. By the way, there is no state law that prevents birth control access. The Democrats' bill is nothing more than election year virtue signaling, based on an imaginary hypothetical. In other words, they passed a law on something that there was no law. So it's all, as they would say in the classics, it's all BS. Okay, all BS. And we note that the just hot off the press, just in fact, because Joe Biden, according to the White House, has COVID. Even though he had all the boosters and stuff, he's a COVID. Ooh. So our special news our bulletin, we've got our sound effects department there, which is, Tim, you're our news theme. Thank you. Stop. Thank you. It's too much.
After testing positive for COVID today, President Biden immediately rushed out of the White House to go sniff one last little girl before losing his sense of smell. "You mean I won't be able to smell anything?" said a distraught Biden as his doctor broke the news. "I've got to go then. There's no time to lose. Fire up Marine One. Where's the closest elementary school?" Biden's COVID diagnosis comes despite the president being twice vaccinated and boosted. Quote, "The president has taken every precaution possible to ensure that his dearly beloved olfactory nerve remains healthy," said White House physician Dr. Elliot Reed. "Smelling little girls' hair and eating ice cream are his two great pleasures, and he guards those fiercely. He actually tried to combine them by making the National Science Foundation create an ice cream that smelled like hair, but AIDS shot that down," unquote. Desperate for one last sniff before COVID took hold, Desperate for one last sniff before COVID took hold, Biden directed Marine One to land at nearby Maury Elementary School. Principal Donna Cleary watched the helicopter land in the parking lot and announced, quote, "Hey kids, President Biden is back once again for a surprise visit. He sure does come to visit a lot. Such a great supporter of education," unquote.
Thank you. There's one of our news guys having trouble with that. But so there you are. That's how ridiculous it is. I mean, Joe Biden, who said, he said this, I think.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
That's Joe Biden, the leader of the free world. That's our leader. And then we have Kamala Harris after that. So it's all a worry, isn't it, that Joe Biden, after telling us to get the vaccinations, that you won't get COVID, and there he is. And which is scarier too, that he's going to have his taste and smell that may just disappear. So he'll just be, to the American public, a real stinker. Now, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play, so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. That's TNT Radio. It's available right now to download. And by the way, we're keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, more climate madness from mainstream media. Australian Test cricket captain, for those listening overseas in the States, cricket is our favourite summer sport. In fact, we love it in winter, but we have to watch it played in other parts of the world. And for those in the US wondering about cricket, how this operates, how the game goes, what it is generally, the traditional game of cricket is that they will play for 5 days. One team will bat, and then the next team will bat. Hopefully the next team bats, and hopefully the next team bats, and it'll go for 5 days. And then at the end of the game, at the end of 5 days, there is no result. That's what cricket, that's traditional cricket. So I've just explained what cricket really is. It's also a game where you watch the grass grow. Anyway, Pat Cummins is the Australian Test cricket captain, has assembled a host of cricket leaders. That's the ones that lead cricket. They're the ones that make all those runs and take all those wickets that the adoring fans, whether in Australia or India, Sri Lanka, England, Caribbean, those places where they just love to watch. Well, they're going to go to a private summit in Sydney to address how the game can reduce its carbon footprint. So there you are. So they're going to hit the ball maybe a little bit gentler. They're going to save the planet, or try and save the planet. We also warned that Australian summer temperatures could reach 50 degrees Celsius within the next 20 years, making outdoor sport impossible. And see what happens when you sniff cricket balls or balls of any sort? That's what happens. You start believing all this crap. By the way, the heat wave in Europe, somewhere where they showed all the fires, the same fire actually, different angles, and this house is burning down, which is terrible. But the same houses and the black smoke. Got to find that same black smoke. But the world was burning up. Europe was doomed. They're all going to boil to death. Like the tarmac, for example. The tarmac. It was so hot they had to replace the tar. By the way, that happens everywhere. It just means that their maintenance was a bit lax. So the horror pictures we saw were just that, horror pictures. Okay. Ron Barmby is a professional engineer with both bachelor's and master's degrees. Hello. His career has taken him to over 40 countries on 5 continents, investigating geosciences and working with local cultures. Now, Ron is the author of Sunlight on Climate Change, A Heretic's Guide to Global Climate Hysteria, and is a regular writer at climatechangedispatch.com. First of all, Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Now, I'm just thinking about the Australian Test cricket captain, Pat Cummins. He's going to get all the players together and all the great players, the leaders, and how the game can reduce its carbon footprint. Do you think probably a whack behind the ears of the cricket bat would maybe bash some sense into them? It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, it is ridiculous, and I wouldn't try to bash some sense into them. I think one of the approaches that we need to take is people have this belief in climate change and a belief in global warming, and yet they don't understand it. And the comment you had, Mike, that we're going to see 50 degrees Celsius and not have any outdoor sports in the next couple of decades or so. People don't know that there's databases like Dr. Roy Spencer's database that shows we haven't had any global warming in 24 years. So it's that kind of explanations that need to be made. The long-term trend since we've had satellite data on global temperatures is about 1 degree warming per 100 years. So we're not going to have 10 degrees warming the next 30 years. So that's kind of why I wrote the book, Mike, is I try to take all the statistics and all the theories and as an engineer, explain these scientific concepts in easily understandable terms. And once people get that, then they start thinking a little more critically. Mm-hmm. And the captain of your cricket team might be interested to know that as we put more and more CO2 into the atmosphere, if it had any effect at all on global warming, it's having a diminishing effect because the more you put in, it's a relationship. You have to keep doubling the amount of CO2 to get the same temperature increase each time. And so it's those kind of things that might be more effective than a whack behind the ears with a cricket bat.
Look, you recently wrote about the credibility crisis at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is IPCC. What did you uncover in their 2020 Scientific Basis Report?
Well, Mike, do you remember back in Al Gore's movie, the hockey stick approach what's going on? Mm-hmm. That graph was debunked many, many times. It was reproduced several times by the IPCC, and then it was dropped altogether when people poked so many holes in it. It was a pincushion. Well, they've tried to bring it back in the 2021 report, and what they've done is they've tried to rewrite the climate history of the Earth so that it shows that the recovery from the Little Ice Age, which ended somewhere around 1850 to 1875, was caused by CO2 being added to the atmosphere. And so they did not address the end of the last ice age when we had dramatic climate change of 10 degrees in 100 years coming out of the last ice age. They eliminated things like the Holocene maximum when it was 3 or 4 degrees warmer than it is today, the Roman warming period, the Dark Ages, the Little Ice Ages, they all disappear in order to show that the recovery from the Little Ice Age correlates to mankind putting CO2 into the atmosphere. So that's one thing that they did they may have dropped the actual hockey stick graph, but they've kept the hockey stick mentality, and now they're trying to reintroduce the graph. So that's one thing. The second thing that they did is that they presented a graph that tries to show that every amount of CO2 in the atmosphere has the same effect on global warming as the previous amount, that it's a linear relationship. And that's what I was talking about with your cricket captain. It's not a linear relationship. It's a logarithmic relationship. And so, let's use an example. Let's say if all the CO2 mankind has put into the atmosphere in the last 100 years has caused 1 degree Celsius of global warming. In order to get that next 1 degree Celsius of global warming, you have to double the volume that you've already put in. So you can see that the temperature curve flattens pretty quickly. Mm. And we're in that flat part. But they construct graphs that would mislead you away from that conclusion. And deep in the heart of the report, they do admit that it's a logarithmic approach. But the graphs that they present to the in the summary for policymakers would lead a reasonable reader to conclude that every bit of CO2 has the same effect as the last bit of CO2. And that's just not true. A third thing that they've done is that they've used some temperature data that they put into their simulators, and they've tried to use an observed temperature map to bolster the confidence in their forecasts. Now, Mike, I imagine you've read a lot and seen a lot that most of the forecasts, if not all the forecasts the IPCC has made over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. have one thing in common. They're wrong. They consistently overstate what global warming is going to do. And what they've done to overcome that in this latest report is they constructed a map that says, here is the observed global warming. And when we use the same data, we put it into our simulator, we get a match. We can match history with our simulator, so our simulator must be very accurate. And so now we'll run the simulator ahead 50 years, and it says we're going to get 3 or 4 degrees of warming, or whatever it says. But the problem is that when a different group takes the same database that the IPCC used, and they run it and they map it out, they get a different observed map. The IPCC map shows about a 1 degree, 1.5 degree warming fairly constant throughout the world. Not much data in Antarctica and a little bit warmer in the Arctic, but it's fairly consistent, and they remark on the consistency in the tropics. Well, the Berkeley Earth Organization used exactly the same database, and they plotted what the data has done, and they show a map of the world's temperature increase as being wildly chaotic, and which is true. We know some parts can get much warmer periodically, and other parts can get much cooler periodically, but weather by itself is chaos, and climate is just long-term chaos. It is not a uniform global warming map that the IPCC has presented. And the reason they presented it as uniform global warming was to enhance their forecasts. But if the history match doesn't work, the forecasts are in doubt too. Mm. So that was one thing. And kind of the last theme that they had that I thought is worth mentioning is that they created a carbon budget that they would like the world to adhere to. And this is like your cricket players reducing their carbon footprint. They want everyone to reduce their carbon footprint in order to meet this budget, because they say that in order to keep global warming under 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees Celsius, here's the amount of carbon dioxide we have left in our budget that we can put in the atmosphere. And the problem with that is that they wildly overstate the effect of carbon dioxide in that budget. It conflicts with their own report and their own data. So these are our, Mike, those would be the four main things that I found that were big holes, big problems with their report. I think it really attacks their scientific credibility. Mm. If I can find it as an engineer, I'm sure lots of people within their own organization must have thought that this really all doesn't add up.
Look, just hang on for 5 seconds. We're just going to go to a quick break. My guest is Ron Bamby. He's the author of Sunlight on Climate Change, A Heretic's Guide to Global Climate Hysteria. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Trish Wood.
My next guest, he has written a really good book called Take Two Aspirins and Call Me By My Pronouns, Why Turning Doctors into Social Justice Warriors is Destroying American Medicine. It's a really good topic. If you don't know this yet, and Stanley's going to fill us in more on this, but if you haven't fully taken it on board yet, this thing has completely overtaken medical schools. I mean, it's not fringe at all.
Well, it's quite interesting that you asked that question, because just yesterday we became aware of the fact that the Association of American Medical Colleges, which is basically the governing body composed of the deans of medical schools, and they issued a curriculum in diversity, equity, and inclusion, which sounds like a series of talking points for the most woke individuals that you've ever met.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When you remember this year's holiday, will you think of the waves gently lapping on the shore? The sun setting over rolling hills? Or sat, bored out of your mind with a flat tire, waiting for a recovery truck? 1 in 5 motorway breakdowns are caused by tire problems. Before you set off, check your tire pressure. Highways England.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's TNT Radio.
My guest is Ron Bamby. Now, Ron, every time I open the newspaper, if I get the paper version or go online and check out the news, I mean, it's almost the climate forecast are all on steroids. I get really, really grumpy, and I think, what the hell are they on about? It's some people call it fear porn, because it's all going doom and gloom, like the heat wave in Europe and the UK, and then they show the same fire at different angles and stuff, and show a bit of tar melting, and before you know it, the world is talking more loudly about climate change and what we are to save the planet before we all boil to death. But the climate forecasts are dodgy, aren't they?
Oh, they're very dodgy. Yes, absolutely.
So what do we do? How do you cut through the air to the public and say, this is dodgy? It is dodgy because of, or is it because the Australian or the American or the English or Canadian population right back 30 years, 40 years ago were already being propagandized or indoctrinated on this, inverted commas, climate change. So you could put up just about anything and they go to say, yeah, it's real. And it does say a lot then, if that is the case. It says a lot about our method of rational reasoning. I mean, there seems to be little of that, and the low IQ is in great proportions.
Well, we've lost something that was introduced in the age of the Enlightenment, and that's adherence to the scientific method. We'd like to think that all our scientists respect that and use the scientific method. But when you look at the IPCC, a mistake that we all made is we regarded it as a scientific organization that was looking into the state of the art of global warming. And what we got fooled by, and Margaret Thatcher was one of the first to figure it out, is that the IPCC is a political organization. It's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and they have a political agenda. And the reports and the forecasts that get picked up by mainstream media, almost all of them come from the IPCC. And so what to do about it, Mike, is exactly what you're doing right now, talking to me, is giving a voice to people who are critical of the IPCC and ask people just to look at other data and to try to understand the science behind global warming and make up your own mind. Mm. Immanuel Kant, he described the Age of Enlightenment as way back in 1784. He said, dare to know and have the courage to use your own understanding. And I think that's what we have to get back to. We have to understand, each of us, what is the principles of climate change? How does CO2 work as a greenhouse gas? Is it really that bad? And then instead of having someone tell us, this is what we're going to do, this is what you're going to think, we should have our own ideas and we should use our own understanding to determine how we think climate change should be handled and how serious it is.
This government in Australia, no, actually, you got Trudeau and Biden, once upon a time, Boris.
Let's not get started.
No, but you're very lucky. I can tell. Which part of Canada are you from?
I'm from the West. I'm in British Columbia as we speak.
Can you get
in the central?
Can you get out of Canada? I mean, you've got one of the great doozies of prime ministers ever known, but he, you know, at least your country's next to one of the great doozies of presidents ever known. I mean, you got a couple of great, you know, great leaders there.
Yes.
But you know, we often hear, you know, our prime minister here is he'll have to be surgically removed from Joe Biden, I'm sure. We all hear this net zero carbon. Now, first of all, is it possible and is it wise?
It's not possible. It's not wise. It will be greenwashed into us to think that we have achieved it. And it will be done with carbon offset credits and things like that. But the proof, Mike, is going to be is that the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will keep going up because of burning of coal and burning of hydrocarbons. And what we'll see is like in the last 24 years, we've had no temperature increase, yet we've had a lot of carbon dioxide put in the air. What will happen is governments are going to say, we're going to penalize you for burning hydrocarbons because you have to either pay this tax or you are going to have to buy this credit, this offset credit. And they're going to say, well, that's why it's working. You see, the temperature isn't going up anymore, so this is all working out just nicely. Mm. But the fact of the matter is that as a greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide is probably a spent force. If it ever had a dramatic impact at all, which I don't believe it did, because of the need to keep doubling the amount of carbon dioxide to get the same temperature increase, it's not increasing the temperature very much at all, if it ever did. Now, another thing that the IPCC slipped into the last report that we were just talking about is that they said they're only 66% sure, or there's a 66% probability that human beings have caused the global warming in the last century. That means there's 34% chance that it was natural, and I believe most of it was natural. But of the human global warming, they're now saying at least only half of it was caused by carbon dioxide. Well, that's a new story. You know, it used to be it was all caused by carbon dioxide. And now they're saying other greenhouse gases like methane are contributing to half of the human-caused global warming. Mm. So the story is, the narrative is slowly changing even at the IPCC, because sooner or later it's going to be painfully obvious that carbon dioxide is not warming up the Earth.
Mm. We could talk for ages on this thing. Even, you know, we could talk about New Zealand with their emissions tax they're going to have in 2025 for the cows and the sheep. I mean, there's a new meaning for corkage, isn't there, if you think about it?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of wackos out there, but haven't got the time to talk about those just yet. If somebody wants to find out more about you, how do they do that?
Please visit me at www.ronaldbarmby.ca. That would be great, Mike.
All right, that's fantastic. And the book is called Sunlight on Climate Change, A Heretic's Guide to Global Climate Hysteria. I love the title. Was that after a couple of reds, by the way?
Well, I'm a scotch drinker.
Oh, excellent. That's even better. Next time, you'll get even more creative if the second bottle is part of the whole action. Ron, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on, Mike.
Our pleasure. This is TNT Radio.
With a quick check of what's making news, I'm Matt Boyland. Australia says it'll introduce the strongest biosecurity measures the country has ever seen as it ramps up its efforts to stop the devastating foot and mouth disease from breaching the border. A day after seemingly announcing he had cancer, US President Joe Biden is isolating at the White House after testing positive to COVID-19, and 10 civilians, including children, have reportedly been killed in a series of missile strikes on a summer resort in Iraq's Kurdistan region.
G'day, Fast Ed here. As a chef, you know what I hear a lot? Wow, that smells really good. Is it done yet? For certain foods, it's important they cook properly rather than how they look or smell. Those foods include hamburgers, sausages, chicken, and leftovers. The rule of thumb's pretty simple. Cook those foods to 75 degrees Celsius. And listen, I'm no Einstein, so I use a food thermometer, and I reckon you should too. That way, you'll know it's done without guessing, and no one will get sick.
A message from the Food Safety Information Council.
In 2018, 2.9 million people died of the flu and pneumonia. In 2020, there was a 98% decline in influenza, but 2.8 million die of COVID. Data never lies. We mandate that the truth be told.
TNT Radio.
Okay, we always love to have either we have a bit of frivolity on the Friday afternoon, or we have a good news story. And one of my dear friends, Daniel Maslin, he's done many, many things in his life, and is a true inspiration to many of us. He's part of an organisation called Love Your Neighbour International. And to find out more about it, Daniel, great, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure.
This is great.
You hold a leadership role with Love Your Neighbour International. Tell us about the organisation.
Okay, Love Your Neighbour International basically seeks to, well, the bottom line is we seek to help orphans.
Mm-hmm. Where? Which countries? Where?
Well, we'd help orphans anyway, but at the moment we've targeted Africa and South America, namely Peru.
How did the organisation come about?
A friend of mine, Scott Beath, put this together back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife just thought one day that they were interested in why only 5% of donations get to the target. So he set about putting something together that he wanted 100% or nearly 100% of the donated money to actually get to the target. And he thought that people don't donate because they don't think all the money gets there.
On the website for Love Your Neighbour, it says here, this organisation has been founded at a time when children face extreme poverty and recurrent illnesses, ongoing cases of HIV, AIDS, high levels of abandoned or orphaned children, child trafficking, child labour, and unacceptable levels of illiteracy. Just fantastic goals there, and that they're addressing a massive problem, aren't they?
It is a big problem. I mean, we don't understand it fully in this lucky country that we live in, how a lot of children around the world just don't get the basic things that we get.
No. And what made you get involved in this organisation? Because you're on the Gold Coast. We're on the Gold Coast, which is the epicentre of intelligence around the world, galaxy.
Of course.
Of course, that's right. We, you know, we've said that without having a scotch or a red. There are so many problems facing the children these days, orphans. I mean, what made you get into it, though? I mean, you've had a fair amount of experience with dealing with these sort of children, because you almost got a halo, but not quite. But tell us how you got involved in this.
My friend Scott, we spoke about these things many times, and about a year ago, he asked me to come to one of their meetings, and so I sat in, and we actually had a live meeting in Glen Innes. And I was beside myself. I just loved every minute of it, just being part of something like that. Then they asked me to be the chairman, and I went, well, that's pretty scary. I've never done it like that before. Mm. But I took it with open arms, and away I went.
What about some of the projects and goals of Love Your Neighbour?
Basically, I mean, whatever we do, it's going to help an orphan somewhere. So things that we've done in the past, building
schools,
orphan building, like ablution blocks, putting in, bores for fresh water. I mean, simple things that we take for granted. toilet blocks, you know, things like just putting a floor into one of their buildings. I mean, they have dirt floors and stuff like that. So,
and you're heavily involved, or you're getting more heavily involved, should say, in Uganda. And one of our presenters here, Rick Munn, he does a gig from 7 to 10 from Belfast in Ireland, and Rick is very familiar with Uganda and all the problems there. It's so what made you get involved? Because he's very passionate also about Uganda and that part of the world. Why is that so important?
You'd have to ask Scott that. That's my friend and the guy who put this together.
Mm-hmm.
Why Uganda? I don't even think he might even know. He was just driven to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Form partnerships with some organisations there, namely orphanages that were already there.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the plight that they were, you know, the life that they led, and mm-hmm. you know, his heart melted. He just wanted to do something.
Mm.
And, you know, we believe that anything helps. So $1 for us is nothing, but for them is a lot of money.
It does, it buys.
So, you know, being the person in the middle to get the funds from here to the actual place where they really need to go, and, you know, and so that no money disappears along the way.
Mm.
So that's what we're about.
What about Australian-based projects? I'm interested in that because we have so many grants given out by various governments, whether state or federal or even local, and all these good organisations. You would think they're sort of serviced, you know, well or enough, but they're not, are they? So tell us about some of the Australian-based projects.
Yeah, we're looking at one now, a refuge for children and or women and men that are, you know, domestic violence. We're looking at getting some funding for government agencies for that.
Mm.
That will be the first one. We believe there'll be more, but the first one in Glen Innes. So we're looking at real estate at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say, because you've done again a great deal of things. What's the complexity of this sort of stuff? I mean, you are a very kind person. Normally we knock each other a fair bit, but you are a very kind person, and we do because you deserve it. But that's all right. But the complexities the hurdles that you've already come across. How do you get through it? Tell us about those hurdles. Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. The biggest problem is. Knowing that the money gets to the place that we want it to get to. So we've got to, checks and balances. We have, we're now a registered charity, so we have to go through all those checks and balances. We have to fill out certain documents, you know, to make sure that money gets where it's supposed to go.
Mm.
That's probably the biggest challenge.
Yep. What are you most proud of? What's some of the things that you've, in this early stage of the org, what's some of the things you're most proud of, or just one thing?
Good question. There's many things.
Isn't it great? Because as the brain goes dead, it's like, oh, my God.
Look, our last meeting, I was pretty excited about the we sent $950-odd to Peru.
Well.
To our partners in Peru.
So how did you do that? How did you do that? I mean, how is the organization funded? How do you get your money? Is it just
we get money totally from people donating,
mm-hmm.
from the kindness of their heart, basically. Mm-hmm. And then once people find out who we are and what we are, then they can just go to the go online, have a look at the bank details, and donate whatever they like, basically.
And I suppose you always hear it: every penny helps. It does, doesn't it?
Every penny does help. I mean, at the moment, we have a this is what all of us guys that are the part of this, plus a few others, we donate $7 every week. So we just, you can do that yourself if you go to your bank account and just put in $7, send to this number, and then do you want to do this reoccurring? Yes. Mm. And the way it goes. So $7, $7, $7. So we hope to, you know, get 1,000 people eventually on board, and with $7,000 per week, we can help a lot of orphans.
And it's not much. That's actually two coffees, or for you, one coffee with a gallon of honey in it. But I mean, but it's not.
You know, I love my honey, mate.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you call me honey, sweetheart. But it's
I eat a kilo a week.
You do. I mean, this guy. I mean, it's honey with coffee. But that's all it is. True. It's just one coffee, isn't it? And then you've got yourself. You're doing something really great. Something important.
Yeah, $350 a year. I mean, geez,
there's not much, is it?
Well. Yeah, and our wonderful lucky country, it's really a no-brainer. It's not much at all.
Okay, now the global economic environment is becoming more difficult. Is this affecting the organisation's ability to fundraise? And again, we're talking $7. I tell you what we did the other day. We had a gentleman on, and they have I've just forgotten the name of it, but they have these vouchers in Coles. It was $2, and that $2 would help feed a number of people throughout Australia. So people don't understand that, you know, even though you do it by numbers, $7, even though it's not much, combine that with a lot, and the amount of buying power of $7 or $70,000 or $700,000 overseas is just huge. But to get people to pay $1, $2, $7. I mean, even in Coles, when I used to walk through it, didn't take much notice, but they would just sit there until I found out how much good they did. Mm. So how do you then convince, the Australian public to say, give $7 because you are looking after some poor kitty?
Convince them. What I say to the Australian public is spend your couple of cups of coffee, whatever you spend on your coffee. Send some money to this really good cause, and then watch, have a look and see and see what we actually do. Anyone can come to our meetings or join into our meetings. Everything's transparent, and just observe and then be part of saving an orphan's life, or just putting some shoes on their feet, or anything like that.
Magnificent. And don't go away, we're going to a commercial break. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, the heat has diminished across Europe, but if you are a climbing ambulance chaser, there's always something to find, and the United States is boiling away. What aggravates me sometimes is that from February, my company was telling people this was going to happen. So even though Joe Biden has not yet declared a climate emergency, he's using his executive powers, and nothing can stop that, right? Fact is, he wants to propose more wind turbines in the Northwest Gulf of Mexico. Now, let me get this straight. We're going to put wind turbines in an area where some of the strongest hurricanes in the world go. What could possibly go wrong with that? Still, the heat is not as bad as the 1930s, but no one wants to talk about that. I do. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio. And remember, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Interview conducted at 10:15. Present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Controversy has dogged Black Lives Matter finances, Patrice Cullors and other board members. Fiscal 2020 tax filings of the Black Lives Matter Foundation's finances show that expenses of $2,167,894 went to the Bowers Consulting Firm, which is owned by current board member Shalemiah Bowers. Los Angeles-based Trap Heels LLC, owned by Damon Turner, received $969,459 for live production, design and media. Turner, a rapper and artist, is the father of Colour's son. The BLM Foundation also paid $840,993 to Colours Protection LLC, a company owned by Patrice Cullors' brother, Paul, and established in July 2020. In an interview to MSNBC to clear her name, Cullors said that BLM was unprepared for the rush of donations and complained that her mistakes were being weaponized against her. According to the tax filings, the Black Lives Matter Foundation still has more than $50 million in donations, and $32 million of that was invested in the stock market.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And I'm with Daniel Maslin from Love Your Neighbor International, which is a magnificent organization. Daniel, if somebody wants to help, how do they do that? How can they offer their help? I mean, not just giving money, it's also, you know, rolling up the sleeves and doing a bit of hard work, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, we do need some help. Volunteer, it's all volunteer work. So we're all volunteers. We don't get paid by the organisation at all. A lot of people help us. For example, we would like some to upgrade our website. Mm. So if there's anyone out there in radio land that would volunteer to help us or do something with this, with help it, you know.
Or website land.
Website land.
And there could be a new business. We've talked about many wacko things, haven't we? You know, here's something that's interesting. Lynn, my wife, across the road from her, it's called Lunchbox Land.
Mm.
I think that's what it is. Can you? I mean, it's a sandwich shop.
Mm. I've never heard of it. Lunchbox.
Yeah, Lunchbox. Anyway, so we'll talk about that later over a couple of gallons of red, I would imagine. Okay, what are the goals of Love Your Neighbor International?
Well,
in the next couple of, say, 12 months, what do you want to do?
Well, just continuing on with the projects that we're already doing, that we've already got in place. Obviously, as per funding, you know, comes in, as the need arises, we will, you know, fund certain projects.
Mm.
The last one was they got in a boat and went up the guys from the orphanage over in Peru and went up the river. So this is really sort of Indiana Jones stuff. Mm.
But it's a bit like us here.
And you know, they're looking to, you know, help orphans and things like that, and, you know, just go to the villages in this.
It's kind of
exciting, actually, the contrast between the way we live and the way they live, and it just blows you away.
It's about community, isn't it?
It is about community, and the bottom line, I mean, it's in the name. Love your neighbour.
Mm.
Your neighbour's everywhere.
Mm.
And to love them, you know, there's lots of meanings to the word love. We all know them.
Mm.
But to care about someone else's welfare really is, you know, love in a nutshell. So we do care about their welfare. An orphan has no parents, so.
Mm. I'm just thinking about the trip up. That would have been the Amazon, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that's sort of place.
It's in the Amazon.
Where you go. You know, you hop in the boat up the river, but it's not where you go fishing. It's where the fish go eating, because they've got big teeth. They could even eat those piranha fish.
Yes.
But wouldn't you like? I mean, you look around in Australia, and we've got a whole bunch of politicians. Wouldn't you like them to go up the? Yeah, to say maybe take them for a ride with you, and in a rubber dinghy. And you would like smear that dinghy in meat or something, and so the piranha. Wouldn't that be what a great excursion that would be? You get the VC for that one.
You just say, "This water is healing." Just drop your feet over the side.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yum, lovely. Yum, yum. Well, that's foot in their mouth disease, isn't it? Which we're talking a lot about at the moment. Because
there's lots of foot in mouth disease around at the moment.
There is.
Yeah, there's lots. The humans have got it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they have. I mean, it's terrible. But the, I mean, even with the, when we look in Australia, I'm just thinking about the emissions they're trying to cut. You know, trying to destroy the planet to save it. But I mean, if you wanted to, if they were serious, I mean, the place where there's the most, you know, I suppose, hot air, emissions is in Canberra. I mean, wouldn't you
they're
like
the most emissions, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so they, if they were serious about it, they go after them and smack them in the head because they're the ones that are creating all this BS. And you've been around, you know, you've done many things in your life, and which you and I often talk about. Are you dismayed at what you're seeing at the moment with the population, how they seem to be? It's all, you know, the old musketeers thing, all for me and none for thee, and that's what I'm seeing at the moment in Australia with a lot of Australians. They, whether it was COVID that sort of made them all about me and none for thee, or whether it's just part of our how we act these days. I mean, remember the Aussie, the great Aussie, you know, they got you six, they're going to look after you in the ditch. If you've got bullets flying around, they'll come and help you.
Mm.
Do you think they're still there?
Yeah, there's still people that, yeah.
Yeah, but not a whole
but
lot,
in,
is
in it? General, it's...
all for
in
me.
In my lifetime, I've seen, you know, people sort of go away from helping others more to be helping themselves, whether, you know... That was the way they were taught, or they're forced into just looking after themselves, and you know. But you know, your real freedom is looking after someone else or helping someone else.
Mm.
Your own time, your own money.
Do you think, for you, do you think God has played an important part in your life?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And this is. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking here, and it says that Psalms 82, 3, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Yeah. I mean, so even though it's based on God, it's, you don't have to have that faith to be part of this organization.
That's right.
But do you think, I mean, when you and I grew up, that's when Ned Kelly was still running around the place.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
That's right. That's why I went to school with him. But I'm just thinking though, the in those days, things were a little more simple. You had your religious classes, and don't forget the moral compass was taught into us. And now that the new God is climate change, which is based on lies anyway, not a good way to move forward. I'm just thinking, have we lost our moral compass? Do you think? And do you think? And the reason why I mentioned that, organisations like this can actually help you refocus on the important things of life, and that's your fellow man.
Yeah, reset your compass. Yeah. I think the compass for a lot of people is just spinning out of control.
Mm.
They like to be morally correct, but circumstances in their life or whatever, you know, whatever it is, and then they lose that.
Mm.
They can't stand up.
No.
So then they're living a lie. So any wonder there's so much sickness around.
Mm.
If you're living a lie, you're going to be sick.
That's right. You've gone through some fairly traumatic times in your life. What's gotten you through the most, besides religion?
I wouldn't say religion. I'd say I have a relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
I wouldn't call myself a religious person.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped me a lot. It's helped me a lot because.
But what else besides that?
I have a sense of freedom. That's what I have. Mm. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. I have this sense of freedom, and I'm okay.
And how do you get through? You've been through some trauma. How do you get through that?
You can't really take the trauma away. It's always going to be there.
Mm.
Coping mechanisms, mate. Mm. Coping mechanisms.
You know, I'll have to buy you a drink for this one coming on. Thank you very much. Now, if somebody that wants to find out more about the organisation, what's the website? This will test you out.
loveyourneighbourinternational.org.
You are a genius.
I'm on it, mate. I'm on it.
Yeah, the memory's still there. That's right. It hasn't completely gone.
No, there's still a few cells left, yes.
Daniel Maslin from loveyourneighbourinternational.org. Thank you very much for coming on.
And thanks for having me, Mike.
This is TNT Radio. Coming up next, the boy from Maitland, Jason Q, citizen. I'll catch you again on Monday. Have a great weekend. Cheers.